Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and I just want to thank you again for allowing God to be a blessing in your life as you continue to be a part of the ministry Mission from the Heart. And today is going to be a day of beauty in the message today with the family affair. As Pastor Gerald and Gwen Jones walk hand in hand through the love letters of grace concerning the family affair, they will focus today on the process for marriage. So as we come ready, willing, and able to listen and receive what God has for you concerning your marriage or concerning your marriage relationship to Him for those who are single. So be ready to have your Bibles and your paper and pen ready to take good notes concerning the family affair.
We're going to be talking today about the process, and the process is communication. That's key for marriage. Genuine communication requires that a couple seek to understand and to be understood, and that's truly the basic form of any communication. We're seeking to understand someone else and to be understood. So tonight we'll be talking about the anatomy of understanding, which really is just what's involved in getting to a clear understanding, or what it's made up of, what does it consist of, what does it look like, what does it feel like.
The basic structure of a relationship, basically how it is built. I know when we think of anatomy, we normally think of the body, the human body, the head, the arms, the legs, the feet, the hands, you know, the eyes. We think of that body. And God is the one that structured this body. And so I believe he used the physical body to be an illustration of a spiritual body. And even before you're married, this relationship that is necessary needs to be between you and your Creator, between you and God. The Bible is in Proverbs chapter number 24, verse number 3. As Proverbs 24 and 3 reads, "By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established."
In any type of relationship, we're seeking to have a good understanding. And even in the world of the deaf and dumb, there is still communication that takes place where they're able to understand and they're seeking to be understood. So whether it's in a marriage relationship, or it's in a relationship with a friend, or a relationship with our children, relationship with our boss, we are all seeking to understand what is being said and to be understood when we speak. So the anatomy of understanding, the first part is a couple who seeks to understand each other will value what it takes for genuine communication to occur.
It takes time. It takes time. Time, I often say to people, is the other way to spell love. We spell love L-O-V-E. And truly, that is how you spell the word love. But if you really want to see love in action, it's spelled T-I-M-E, where you take time with a person.
There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven, a time to be silent and a time to speak. That's Ecclesiastes 3:1 and 7b.
Besides time, there is the need for trust. Trusting somebody means that you are relying on them, you're depending on them, you're believing in them that you, they will not let you fall. They will not allow you to hit the bottom. They'll catch you before you fall.
There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. That's 1 John 4:18.
If somebody is using fear tactics to dominate you or control you, or we've talked about it in the other sessions, to manipulate you, to put pressure on you for money or sex, or just they wanting full control of your every bit of your life. Fear, that's not love.
And the third one is transparency.
A man, and the man and the woman were both naked and were not ashamed. Transparency shares between a married couple share complete emotional and personal trustworthiness. I like saying they were willing to be exposed. They were exposed to each other, the intimacy of Adam and Eve, because that's where Genesis 2:25 is talking about Adam and Eve, the man Adam and his wife Eve. Both were naked and were not ashamed. They were exposed, unashamed. And when marriage takes place, there is no need for one person to be ashamed of being exposed to the other.
So we're going to look at all three of these a little bit more in depth. And we're going to start with time. Time is very, very necessary. It is very difficult and next to impossible to have a relationship with anyone that you don't spend time with. And that begins even with God. We can't have a relationship with him if we don't spend time in his word, if we don't spend time, and in the process of reading his word, we get to know him and his attributes by what we read in the God, in his word, and also praying, talking to him, and most of all, listening to him talk to us.
I am persuaded if you are having this difficulty praying, you should read the book of Psalms, because it helps you to pray and to praise. Most of the time when you start reading God's word, it enlightens you to who God is, but then it also enlightens you to who you are. And again, if you know who God is and you know who you are, it'll be easier for you to relate to other people, as long as you don't allow others to take over what you know about God and what you know about yourself.
Now, also under the topic of time, the verse that I read said that there's a time and a season for everything under the sun. So when we're communicating, we need to pick the time that we communicate. When your husband or your wife comes in the door from work, may not be the best time to tell them about the worst thing that's happened in the day, or that the teacher called today about the child, or that I lost my job today. May not be the best time to communicate that at that time.
Yeah. Timing is everything. I believe that if you give time to really listening to how a person communicates, you will better understand what they're trying to say.
I'm a firm believer that if we spend time doing what we really believe in and put the time in, then it can't help but get better. So in marriage, when we put the time in, then we can expect to see the marriage get better. So the next topic is trust. The levels of or the anatomy of understanding and communication, it's very difficult to communicate to someone on a deep level that you don't trust. So with a spouse, we have to work on developing that trust that with one another and not feeling that we're going to be judged or that we're going to be ridiculed for our opinions or for whatever has gone on. And so when we, and hopefully the trust issue was settled in the courtship, but it may or may not have been. So if it was not settled in the courtship, then that could be something that we work on in the marriage.
But hopefully you would not marry somebody that you don't have a level of trust, that you haven't come to the place in your life where you really say, you know what, I trust this person to think of the highest good for me. Am I right, Gwen?
Yeah.
You know, you want to say without a doubt that one thing I do, I trust God in this person to care for me better than I care for myself. I often tell young people, don't rush into marriage if you don't believe that that person loves God more than they love you. You want them to love God more than they love you, because if they love God more than they love you, you know they're going to take care of loving you.
The understanding increases with increased levels of communication. So if I'm going to understand you better, the more that I talk to you, the more I will understand you.
I want to just one more time talk about that transparency. You really need to be transparent with somebody so they get to really know who you are before you marry them. And if you didn't get to know them, who they are before you marry them, when you marry them, you will find out some things that you didn't know. And don't be surprised when you find out those things that you didn't know before you got married, because you just won't know everything about a person until you live with them, until you are in situations and circumstances that you hadn't been in during a dating or a courtship time.
I think that we see a high level of divorce rate today is because people fail to be transparent with one another in the courtship. Many times we put on our happy face in the dating realm, and we hide all of our true feelings. And so once the marriage has taken place, then this person said, you know, the spouse is saying, I'm living with someone that I never saw before or that I don't know, because we were not transparent. And that makes it very hard for the marriage to survive, because we have put on a face that of who we are that really is not truly who we are. And so I would recommend that if you are in a relationship that you consider to be serious, that you will seek to be as transparent as possible, because that will only help your spouse, and it will help you, because the more you let down your guard with the person that you love, the more they will let their guard down and feel safe with you. That it needs to feel like a safe environment for me to let my guard down. I've often said that if I don't trust you, there's no way for me to put my head on a pillow next to you at night and close my eyes and go to sleep, because I don't trust you.
And it's a shame. People trust people with their bodies, but they won't trust them with their money. it's a shame that people will trust people with their emotions, but they won't trust them with their car. it's a shame. It's a facade. I want to say something to get to a deeper level. We have to get past cliches.
The cliche, how are you?
Oh, just fine.
Oh, the weather's beautiful today.
Isn't it though?
And those type of things is just a superficial type of conversation. I haven't divulged anything about myself or anything. I've just been congenial. And in marriage, it should be where we communicate on a level that is much deeper than just cliche.
Well, we could go a little deeper. We could go into facts and start sharing what we know. It was raining today. The sun was shining today. You know, we could give some facts about the day. I'm glad that I didn't have to drive today.
You know? It's Thursday. The week is almost over.
Yeah, that's fact. But it's still not getting down to that level where you really are getting to share who you are or getting to know somebody else.
And then other than the cliche level and the fact level, there's the opinion level. I think Hillary Clinton would make a great president.
I don't know if I'm really ready for a woman president.
I think that Ford makes the best truck that's ever been made.
Yeah, I agree with that. Opinions, and people have strong opinions. And somewhere, when we are communicating with people and we're getting to know them and we are relating with people, we need to know that we can listen and we can understand people's opinions. You don't always have to agree with their opinion, but you can at least accept them. And that comes from really being willing to understand or listen to them.
And in marriage sometimes, and even with friends, they have opinions that you don't agree with, but you have to agree to disagree and be okay with that. Then the next level of communication is emotional. That's where you just share what you feel. I have a headache today.
Yeah. I don't feel comfortable talking about that subject. You know, sometimes there's just some things that you don't feel comfortable sharing with you about how I was brought up. I don't feel comfortable letting you know what happened to me yesterday.
And then the final level is transparency. And that's when you seek to share who you are, who you really are, beyond your opinions and your emotion and your facts or just the cliche. That's when I feel close enough to you that I'm willing to be intimate and exposed. I'm willing to share my deepest thoughts, because now if I've gotten to that level, then I feel like that you truly care for me.
you can really have a good relationship by simply learning to seek to understand somebody, to listen, to kind of put yourself in their shoes or put yourself in their emotions for just a while. You don't have to stay there, but for a brief moment while they are exhaling or while they're expressing to you, you ought to want to be empathetic with them, not just sympathetic, actually kind of empathize with them, what they're going through, and then listen to what they're actually saying.
So this part of the anatomy of communication, of listening, the Bible says in James 1:19, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Many people want nothing more than for someone to care enough to listen to them.
And I am always conscious of the, well, I'm not always conscious, sometimes I'm not as conscious of how much I talk. And so sometimes rather than listening, I'm talking. And I have a tendency sometimes, Gwen, to want to really solve people's problems before I really even hear it. And I, you know, I have to, now I'm trying to back off from that because I know that I can't solve everybody's problem. And what I say could be considered an emotion or an opinion thought to them, you know, so I'm trying my best to learn to be able to care for people's thoughts a little bit more, even though I might not agree.
In marriage, listening is really a way to show that I care about your thoughts and your feelings and what you have to say.
A poor listener will manifest habits that stifles communication and or stirs up misunderstanding.
Fake listening or pseudo listening fakes interest. It's a false listening. You plan like you're listening to me, but you really have no interest in what I'm saying.
And today with Instagram, Facebook, text, tweeting, oh my goodness! When we really think about, we live with that phone in our hands, and somebody's really trying to talk to you, or somebody's really trying to listen at you, but you are involved in a technological device that is really keeping you from being able to really communicate or really listen to that person. Proverbs says it like this: good understanding produces favor, but the way of the tenacious is hard.
Okay. Selective listening tunes in only to the points of interest. Selective listening tunes in only to points of interest. That means that you're talking to me, but I only hear what I want to hear. So that can be very, very dangerous because Gerald and I were having some fun with this, and I was saying, I know you're going to the store, so stop by the cleaner when you're done at the store.
Well, all I was thinking about is I'm going to the store. I tuned out that she wanted me to go to the cleaner and pick up the clothes. So by the time I got back home without the clothes, she said, "Didn't you understand that I want you to pick up the clothes while you were going to the store?" It's just amazing how we can tune out our spouse or somebody that we're really related to or close to instead of really listening and understanding what they're saying.
Protective listening doesn't hear any threatening messages. The wife could be telling the husband, "I'm going to divorce you," But he is so busy watching the TV, he never hears her. It's like, you're not talking to me. Until one day he comes home, and the wife is gone, the kids are gone, the car is gone, and he's wondering what happened. That's because he had his protective listening ear on, and so he didn't hear any of the threatening messages that she was giving all along the way. So we have to be careful that when we are listening, that we're not doing selective listening or protective listening.
It's really work to listen and not just hear words and sounds, and even a person could be yelling at you and you're not really listening to them. A good listener will manifest in the attitude that encourages communication. Eye contact is so important when you're talking to somebody or when you're listening at someone. Eye contact says you have taken your attention off of everything else and you're putting it on me. And I really believe that most people don't have a lot of eye contact until it's really a serious issue.
And along with the eye contact, sit still and lean in and really listen to what your spouse is talking to you, because they're communicating something that they want you to hear, something that they want you to know, something they want you to experience, something they want you to realize. So, that's another thing. It's a good time to turn the TV off and turn off all of the gadgets, and then just take the time to practice being a good listener. Be devoted to one another and brotherly love. Give preference to one another and honor. That's Romans 12:10. It's kind of disrespectful for someone to be talking to you and you're not paying them any attention.
I want you to understand something that we've said in some of the other broadcasts about your mate is not your enemy. Don't listen to your mate as though you are listening to the enemy. The devil is the enemy. Let me just throw that out there, that the evil spirits are the enemy. And that mate, that person that you have committed your life to and that you have vowed before God and others, is not your enemy. If they were, why did you marry them in the first place?
Listen with the attitude that your spouse's comments are top priority and give focused attention. Again, that's what we were talking about with the eye contact and the leaning in. And sometimes, ladies, when you have something you really want to get your husband's attention and speak to him, it will help sometimes just to sit facing him and take him by the hand. Then he knows that you're trying to communicate something that you really want to say to him, and you want him to hear what you're saying.
And guys, the touching is not just limited to her reaching to you. Don't be afraid to touch her. A woman, and this may be opinionated, but I'm going to say it, a woman is affected by the touch that you give her. In the book of Corinthians, in the 1 Corinthians in the 7th chapter, you'll find that it talks about the touch. And a man is affected, ladies, by the way you respect him or his ego. So we have on one spectrum a woman's emotion, and in the other side we have a man's ego. Disrespecting or not listening or something totally opposite of what he's directing or encouraging you to do could show that you really don't care.
Listen with an attitude of acceptance and willingness to understand that I hear you, I'm accepting what you're saying, and I'm trying my very best to understand what you're telling me.
This is a biggie. Sometimes, guys, we really don't believe that God could speak to us through our wives. We got our Bibles in our hands. We know the Word of God. If God's going to speak to me, he's going to speak to me through his Word. Well, he does speak to us through his Word. And if we are in his Word, we will hear his Word in our wives. We will hear his words coming through the person that cares about us and that's got enough guts or enough love.
Enough love to tell you. It was God himself that said that it's not good for man to be alone. So I will give him a helpmeet. And so, the scripture also says he that findeth the wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord. So this listening to the wife sometimes, and by no means am I saying that you're supposed to submit to the wife, but I am saying that she was given to be a helpmeet, so allow her to help.
Allow her to help. Listen with an attitude of wanting clarity. Ask questions or paraphrase in order to get a good understanding. Sometimes what you think she said or what you heard was not what she actually said.
Mm-hmm.
Or you didn't understand what she really meant by what she said. So you want to maybe rephrase the question or the request or the statement back so that they can understand clearly rather than responding to what you initially hear.
So a good clarifying questions are open-ended. Are you telling me that? Are you telling me that you want me to? And so that's a way to clarify what has just been said to you.
You mean you were telling me you wanted me to stop at the cleaner while I was going to the store?
Perfect.
Yes, I did.
And what did you mean when you said, whatever the spouse just said to you? Make sure that you understand with clarity what they're saying to you. So it's okay to ask a couple of questions to make sure that you're hearing what you think that you're hearing. Because sometimes we hear the words that are coming out of the mouth, but we don't understand the words that are coming out of the mouth.
And we jump to why. Why are you telling me this?
So the question would be, of all that you just said, what do you most want me to understand?
Or what do you need for me to do? Or what do you need? How can I really help you? Because basically, on one side or the other, somebody is saying, I need help. I need you to do this because I need help.
A good listener manifests proper listening habits that enhance communication. Focus on what is being said rather than
the way it is being said. Yeah. Sometimes the way we are saying things affects the way the person the focus of
it. Don't be so concerned about the way it's being said that you miss what is being said. You know, sometimes people say, it wasn't what you said, it was the way you said it. Well, sometimes we need to get past the way that it was said so that we can be helped. And then we will hear actually what was being said. And then focus on the meaning.
Rather than the words. What you know, you want to really know what did they mean rather than just the words that they were saying. And sometimes we, you know, can get a little tired tongue and may not be able to really communicate the right words, but you get the feeling of what I'm trying to say. So
focus on clarification of valid points
rather than defending the defense of inaccurate accusations or incorrect accusations.
Focus on the question rather than the indictment.
Focus on understanding. I guess that's the buzzword for tonight. In this process, God's process for marriage is having a good understanding. With all thou getting,
give
a good understanding. Proverbs again. And it said
so
rather than judgment.
On understanding rather than judgment.
Right. Because we can really begin to judge others based on what we think we heard or understood rather than what they really said or what they really meant. And consequently, our judgment is wrong.
Remember that just by listening, it will encourage an understanding and build oneness in the relationship.
And as we started in this whole series of the family affair, we want you to know that God's ultimate purpose for marriage, for a relationship, is oneness. That we would be in harmony and in unity.
Amen. People bring into marriage varying styles of expressiveness and communication. There is a cognitive person that deals with the facts, and they may have difficulty expressing their emotions.
And the other person may be really emotional, and they deal with feelings. Notice, somebody is going to be dealing with some facts, some historical stuff that's went on in the relationship. This is what you did. This is what you do. This is how you do it. And the other person goes, this is how I feel about it. You don't understand. I feel when you do this or when you say that or when you don't say something. You notice how my voice begins to elevate when it gets to the emotion because it's open, has difficulty
confining their emotion.
Yeah. And I said something to Gwen just before we got started tonight. You can have conflict without being confrontational. I mean, we don't have to fight every time we're dealing with a conflict. Especially if our intent is to resolve it.
Misunderstandings can develop when two people are at opposite ends of the spectrum. One that's really cognitive and they have a problem or a difficulty expressing their emotions. And then the person that is very emotional, they're open and they have difficulty confining their emotions. Gerald and I grew up in two different families, of course, and my family is loud and they're open. And when Gerald would come for a date, he would say, why are you guys always fussing at each other? And I'm like, we're not fussing, we're just talking.
Yeah. And I felt like I was walking into a war zone. And they were all talking very loud. But my family, when Gwen came to Houston and met my family, she found that they were a little more reserved, a little more passive, or a little quieter with we laughed a lot more on some parts of my family. We do a lot of laughing. It may not even be funny, but it's just a sanguine personality that we have that causes us to just laugh about some things. And she doesn't think it. I found out she didn't think everything was funny, which it really wasn't funny, but we just were laughing.
So in marriage, you gotta allow for freedom for differences in a way that, and a style of expression. There's not one right and one wrong. They're just different, and we have to allow for those differences.
When I think about the differences, you don't want the differences to actually keep you from communicating and from understanding and from being understood.
Our childhood programming establishes a pattern of suppression or repression in emotion. Another thing that is a barrier for understanding sometimes is a poor self-image can cause one or both of the spouses to fear rejection.
Failed concept of manhood, a false concept of manhood may eventually cause relationships to have problems and prevent you from really understanding one another. Pride prevents men from sharing their needs and their emotions, their inner parts. And, those are some things that causes barriers, they're hindrances.
A false concept of spirituality makes us hesitant to share ourselves sometimes. And then an angry heart sabotages understanding. And James, again, it tells us to be slow to anger.
I think one of the things that have really helped us through the years to deal with anger, again, I think we said this before, that we don't go to bed angry at each other. If it means we got to stay up late at night talking and trying to understand and asking each other for forgiveness when offenses have taken place. Let's be real about it. I offend her. She's offended me. I need to be forgiven. She needs to be forgiven. We do not live in a perfect world where we do not step on each other's toes, that we do not hurt each other emotionally, but if you go to bed on it, if you let anger fester, if you let offenses continue to grow, they turn from offense to anger to bitterness. And when it gets to bitterness, that's when the love starts dropping out. You are mad, you are bitter, you are angry with somebody to the point you don't even want to talk to them.
And please don't allow whatever offenses that happen make you get to go around for days where you don't speak to each other because they didn't change the toilet paper on the roll when it ran out. Or the top was not put back on the toothpaste.
Burnt my toast again.
I burnt the toast. I mean, I didn't cook dinner at all. You know, that type of thing. Sometimes when we're young married, and even sometimes when the marriage has been in place for years, we can let little things make us angry, and it carries over for a day, the next day, the weekend. Please resolve whatever issues that you have properly in a timely manner. Expressing ourselves involves a risk of being emotionally intimate.
It begins by entrusting yourself to God because He understands. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden light.
So the first step is to open myself up to God and be vulnerable with him. And certainly he's the one that I can tell all of my troubles to, all of my needs. And he cares, and he's always listening. He's never, as the old people used to say when we had phone lines in the house, the line is never busy. That was before three-way dialing and before all of that kind of thing. You could call Jesus anytime, and he is never sleeping. He's never too busy. So first we start out with being able to communicate to him, and then it follows with opening myself up to my spouse for his understanding and for his care and for his love. And again, our scripture, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.
I just was thinking, Gwen, how this scripture that says he can be touched by the feelings of our infirmity.
Yes.
And so that relates to every human being, married or single. He can be touched. He casts all your cares upon him.
Yes.
For he what? Careth for you. That's in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. So you can throw it on him. It doesn't matter whether you are saved, spirit-filled, and single, or whether you are married in your honeymoon stage, or you are in the twilight of your marriage. You can still come boldly before the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find help in the time of need. And the Bible said that he never changed.
Yes.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Yes.
It's good to know that he understands. He understands.
Yes. And another thing is emotional intimacy involves the disclosure of my thoughts, my feelings, and my needs.
And you can tell him anything.
For Gerald to really understand what I'm communicating, I have to be disclosing what my thoughts are, what my feelings are, what my needs are.
Yeah.
And look, I want to say this. If we never disclose those things to our spouse, then they are in a fog as to what we really desire and how, and they have no way to bond with us and understand us if we never share our thoughts.
Clueless.
Never share our feelings.
Yeah.
And never share our needs.
Clueless. I mean, you, a lot of times you think the other person really knows what you need or knows how you feel or knows what you're thinking, but they can't read minds. They can't read minds. They may be pretty good, but they really can't read minds. Determine what you really want to say. Determine how you want to say it. And determine when you want to say it.
So when we talk about determining what we want to say, determine what my assumptions are, what my beliefs are, what my desires are, what my dreams are, what my needs are. Those are the things that I want to say.
Determine how you want to say it. With excitement, with sadness, with convictions, with disappointment, with encouragement. You want to determine how you want to say something to somebody, and you really need to think about it before you talk about it.
Determine when you want to say it, during or after a meal, during recreation, at bedtime, in the presence of the children, not in the presence of the children, mm-hmm. while driving, while sitting, while lying in the bed. So determine what, how, and when.
And I think, I mean, for us, it's definitely been walking. Makes it easier, seem like sometimes to talk about things. Taking the bills to a hotel lobby, a fancy hotel lobby, and sitting it all out there and go through a business meeting like we're doing a contract. Really, we're sorting out, we're doing a budget. But it's better in that environment than to do it in the home, because in the home we may be expressing too much anger or displeasure. And when we get through that business there, the business at home is taken care of.
Yes, and it's a lot smoother at home. A day trip sometimes, just riding on a long country road or the countryside and it's beautiful and you get to talk, or along the beach shore, walking and talking. Those are some places and times where it can be a lot easier for you to bond and talk.
I like to say to understand what they are feeling, to really listen and be able to express. Because some, I know we'll forget, my pastor told us once, somebody has to be quiet and listen while somebody is talking. Two people talking at the same time, it just won't work. If Gwen and I was continuously talking on top of each other, even tonight, you would not get the full meaning of what we're trying to say. You have to allow somebody else to at least exhale, get it out.
And I would like to say, too, you need to make a commitment to listen with understanding. That's the first thing. The second thing is to express your thoughts and feelings and needs. That's so important. And then to realize communication is a lifelong process. It's not something that you figure out in the second year of marriage and you don't need it in the 22nd year of marriage.
On the 35th.
Yes, communication will be a lifelong journey. Gerald and I work on this every day because it is really the nucleus of the marriage, being able to communicate with each other. And I want to end on a good note. Remember, God's power is available to you.
We talked about this power.
When you're risking vulnerability with another person, and I'm going to have Gerald elaborate on that one.
When we risk vulnerability to another person, we have to trust the Holy Spirit to be able to use our mouths. And I often pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Lord, take over my mouth. Let me say what you want me to say. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear, even if it's coming from somebody that I really don't want to hear it from, but I don't want to hear it right now. But let me hear. Understanding grows the relationship closer. It is a part of the process. Learning to listen and learning to express in a way somebody will really know you care, that you love them, and that you want to continue with them. I think at this point we want to again pray for everyone that's listening, be it married or single, whatever the relationship is that needs to be developed, I just want to pray that God would build a stronger communication between you and your spouse, you and your married partner. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have allowed us to again be able to open up your word and to share these biblical principles. We pray, God, that as you work on us and you work on others, that you would keep us close to you and keep others close to you. I pray tonight, our Father, that you will continue to let your Holy Spirit be the leader, the guider, and the director of our communications, whether we're on the listening in, or whether we're on the talking in. God, I just believe that you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. And God, we love you today for what you're going to do in the process of marriage from this day forward. We ask that you would forgive us for any sin or trespassing that we have committed against you and against one another or against some other people, that you would forgive us for those sins and cleanse us and put us in right relationship with you. Lord, if there's somebody here tonight that have heard this broadcast that have not made that personal, private, or public commitment to accept you as their personal Lord and Savior, that tonight they would accept you, that, Lord, they would admit to you that they are a sinner and they need a Savior, and that Jesus who was born, Jesus who lived, Jesus who died, Jesus who was buried and rose on the third day, that Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, would save a soul tonight. We confess him with our mouth and we believe him in our heart that you are coming back again, Lord, for all those that have communicated with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. This has been a blessing, I hope, to you who are listening and to those who just have a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is a blessing to be in a family that is called God's family, to be one with him. And I pray that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, as Brother Gerald prayed, and those who are already in the family of Christ, I pray that you've prayed for someone that you know that may not know Jesus for themselves, that you've lifted them up to come to know him as he knocks on the door. And I pray that you have touched and agreed with us as we intercede for others who need to know Christ as well in the pardoning of their sin. This has been a blessing, the family affair. And Brother Gerald and Sister Gwen have done a beautiful job providing us and guiding us hand in hand through the pages of Scripture on how to have a marriage that is processed in the order of God, and that is him being the head, the husband, and the wife. And I just so ever grateful for them to continue to bring wonderful nuggets and a wonderful teaching track called The Family Affair. Brother Jones and Sister Gwen, if you could let those who are listening today know how they can get in touch with your ministry, and if you could provide that information for them in the event that they may have some personal questions for you both, that they may email you or call you, just if you could provide that for them.
Well, I'm glad that you are allowing us to do that. Again, I'm the pastor of Family Fellowship Community Baptist Church. The location is 2202 Aldine Bender Road, Houston, Texas, 77032. My email is Pastor G, D-E-V-O-N, Jones, J-O-N-E-S, @gmail.com. That's Pastor G, like in Gerald, .devon, Jones, J-O-N-E-S, @gmail.com. The number that I can be contacted at is 281-224-7535.
Amen. So if you have questions for Brother Jones and Sister Jones, either of the two, feel free to utilize the information that he has provided for you to address a particular situation, and you can trust and be assured that every comment and every answer is confidential. So thank you again for being a part of this ministry mission from the Heart Radio, but most of all, just being a blessing, listening to The Family Affair by Gerald and Gwen Jones. So always remember that the grass withers and the flowers, they do fade away, but the Word of God remains forever and ever. God bless you and have a blessed day.